for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. I am Aaron Broughton, your host for today, sitting in for Mr. John Lawrence. With me today, we have the pleasure of having Brother Jerry Dumoulin, who is one of our workers, heading to New York to minister to the Jewish people there. Welcome to the studio, Jerry.
Thanks, Aaron, for having me.
Wonderful. Well, as we've been talking a little bit away from the studio, we've discussed about your heart and passion, really, for the local church. I know you've had some ministry experience before coming with IBGM. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm originally sent out of a church in a town called Dighton, Massachusetts, called Hillside Bible Baptist Church. I was a youth pastor there, and really thankful for the opportunity to work with children and to work with teenagers and to just kind of help them develop spiritually and lead them to Christ. So it was a unique experience, and I'm so grateful for it.
Wonderful. What would you say is your philosophy of the local church? What is a church supposed to be, in your opinion?
A church needs to be, you know, a saved group of baptized believers. I really believe that. I believe that the local church is really instrumental in getting the gospel out to the world. It's not perfect, but it is what God is using right now to get the gospel to all peoples and all nations.
Talking about a perfect church, I think some say if you're looking for the perfect church, you'll never find it, because once we enter the door, it becomes imperfect. Yeah, so you're in a transition period in your life. You're raising support, heading to the field to be there full time, really going back in your family's neck of the woods in a way.
Yeah, to some degree. My wife's originally from New York, so it's familiar for her. And Massachusetts, New York, there's not a whole lot of differences.
And you're specifically going towards a Jewish community, is that correct?
That's correct. We're going to be in the metro New York area in Rockland County, and we're targeting a Hasidic Orthodox Jewish community. There's several different sects of Jewish people there that we want to reach them with the gospel and tell them about Jesus.
So you're going there obviously with the intention of planting a local church.
Yes.
Okay, so as you go there, and I guess a lot of churches, maybe even a lot of people listening, you go to a church and you might not really see any Jewish people there. Even in the Jewish neighborhoods, they don't have that experience. So as you're reaching Jewish people, establishing a local church, what does that look like? How does that work?
I think if we're going to reach Jewish people, we need to maybe have a little bit of a Jewish bent. I mean, it doesn't sound good, but, you know, as we reach out to people, we want them to know that we love the Jewish people, that we care for them, and we want them to know that we understand their customs and their traditions. And in the church, we want all people, whether they're Jewish or not, to kind of understand that history, because it's an important part of our history. And so to reach out to them, we want to celebrate the things that they celebrate, the different life cycles that they celebrate, bat mitzvahs and bar mitzvahs and Passover and Yom Kippur and different things like that, and use that not just to celebrate it with them, but also use that as opportunity to point them to Christ.
And really, it is in the Bible, but it's also a part of culture, really. That's how they see that.
Yes.
Wonderful. Jerry, as kind of a closing thought, what is maybe one verse, as you're thinking about church planning, what is maybe or even a Bible passage that kind of comes to your mind that really kind of hits home what you're trying to do?
Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says there, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And that really, that hits home for me, you know, that God wants me to have this prayer is to see, you know, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, to be saved. And that's his desire as well.
Amen. Amen. Well, I pray that is the passion of our audience as well, that they would develop a heart for the Jewish people. Well, maybe there's someone out there, maybe a pastor, could be interested in having Jerry and his family present their ministry. I invite you to contact us here at IBJM. You can call us at 423-876-8150. You can also check us out online at IBJM.org. Thank you, Jerry, for coming in the studio.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Aaron.
All right. Well, with that in mind, let's now open our Bibles as we study together with our teacher, Brother Mark Oshman.
Welcome back to our radio program. Our survey of the Old Testament will continue its examination of the Minor Prophets. In this portion, we'll look at the books of Joel and Amos. Joel provided very little information about himself, apart from his being the son of Pethuel. He ministered to the residents of the northern kingdom of Israel sometime during the 9th century B.C. The book of Joel itself mentioned a series of infestations that afflicted the Jewish people in the southern kingdom of Judah. In light of these incursions and an impending military invasion, God exhorted his people to repent and return unto him. Successive invasions by predatory insects had caused a devastating loss in Judah's harvests. Cattle and sheep suffered because God had dried up their watering holes. God then called upon the Jews to, quote, "Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord," close quote. The northern kingdom of Israel also faced an external threat. A hostile army approached Judah from the north. Perhaps this reference alluded to the same confederation that frightened King Ahaz of Judah, an incident recorded in the 16th chapter of 2 Kings. The resulting turmoil foreshadowed the coming day of the Lord. Joel described that time as, quote, "a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountain," unquote. The invaders brought devastation with them. God therefore exhorted the Jewish people, quote, "Turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning," unquote. He told them to rend their hearts, not merely their garments. Further, he reminded them that he was gracious and slow to anger. If the Jewish people repented, God said, he would pity them. He would give them fruitful harvests and would restore their rainy seasons. He would also remove the military threat to their peace and tranquility. As a result, God said, quote, "Ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed," close quote. In the second chapter of Joel's prophecy, God informed his people about a future period known as the Day of the Lord. He added that at that time, quote, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions," unquote. God will display wonders in the heaven and in the earth. The sun will turn dark, and blood will cover the moon. Yet God promised to deliver anyone who called upon the Lord at that time. In the last days, God will confront Israel's adversaries in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, also known as the Valley of Decision. This area lay east of Jerusalem. He called upon those nations to, quote, "prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about," close quote. When those forces gathered against the Jews, God would intervene on his people's behalf. He will cause the heavens and the earth to shake. God will serve as the strength of his people. God will also make Egypt and Edom desolate because of their violence against Israel. However, at the same time, he will cause the Jewish people to flourish. God put it this way, quote, "Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelt in Zion." The prophet Amos delivered God's word to the same group of people as Joel did, although he lived approximately one century later. The events described in the book of Amos occurred, quote, 2 years before the earthquake, unquote. An event to which Zechariah alluded in the 14th chapter of his book. With regards to Amos, he had no affiliation with any particular prophetic school. Instead, he served as a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. God called him as he labored in Tekoa, located in the southern kingdom of Judah, and God sent him to prophesy at Bethel. The book of Amos contained the major themes common to the prophetic books. He mentioned that God will judge sin, whether those who sinned in the pagan nations or those who sinned in the Jewish nation. Amos called upon the Jews to repent of their sins, to turn to God. However, after they refused, and God executed his judgments upon them, God promised to restore them. The first chapter of Amos' prophecy dealt with judgments against Israel's Gentile neighbors. God condemned Syria for that nation's depredations against Gilead. He cited Gaza and Tyre for taking Jewish captives to Edom. The Edomites and Ammonites acted barbarously against the Jews. The Moabites disrespectfully abused the dead body of Edom's king. In chapter 2 of Amos' prophecy, God turned his attention to the sins of Israel and Judah. Judah despised God's statutes. Israel behaved inhumanely against the downtrodden. Despite their sins, God brought the Jewish people out of Egypt and drove out the Canaanites. He gave them prophets and Nazirites to aid in their spiritual development. Notwithstanding these blessings, the Jewish people mistreated God's representatives. When God sent his judgments to them, he vowed that even their mighty men could not rescue them. God posed some theoretical questions to the Jews in Israel. Quote, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Unquote. Quote, "Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it?" Unquote. Quote, "The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy?" Unquote. God addressed a special admonition to those he referred to as the kine, or cows, of Bashan. Perhaps this alluded to the women in Israel. Though they engaged in social injustice, they still brought their offerings to Bethel. Despite experiencing famine, mildew, and pestilence, these people refused to come back to God. Thus he challenged them, saying, quote, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel," unquote. In chapter 5, God repeatedly entreated the Jews, quote, "Seek ye me, and ye shall live," unquote. Quote, "Seek the Lord, and ye shall live," unquote. Quote, "Seek good and not evil, that ye may live," unquote. He appealed to them, saying, quote, "Let righteousness, let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream," unquote. God sent Amos two visions of imminent destruction: grasshoppers eating crops, and a consuming fire. On both occasions, the prophet interceded on behalf of the Jewish people, and God withheld those calamities from occurring. Amos journeyed to Bethel in the northern kingdom of Israel. Amaziah, the priest at Bethel, ordered Amos to leave and return to Judah. Amos refused to do so. God promised not to forget the iniquities of his people. "He will send them a famine," he said, "not a famine of bread or water, but of hearing the words of God." Yet an element of God's mercy will continue to remain. Though he will wipe out the kingdom of Israel, he will not totally destroy the Jewish people. Indeed, he will bring them back to live in their homeland. That restoration of Israel will last throughout time. God promised, quote, "I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God," unquote. When God does this, he will demonstrate to the world that he remains faithful to his promises. We've come to the end of another Radio Bible Study. Thank you for listening. We invite you to please return for future programs about the books in the Old Testament.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.